Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 4. Gospel of Mark chapter 4. Here in these verses, our Lord both exhorts us and warns us about hearing. He said, take heed what you hear. Now certainly we're not to give an ear to false doctrine or to false prophets or anything that these men are involved in. We're told that plainly in the scripture. In John's second epistle, we're told, whosoever transgresseth, and it is a transgression when you come with a false doctrine. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. We're not to look at this man as a reverend. We're not to look at this man and even acknowledge him as a minister of God, or even to consider him a brother in Christ. This man has not God. That's pretty clear, isn't it? You know, John didn't do a lot of talking. It was usually Peter or one of the other apostles who were doing a lot of talking around the Lord. But when John did speak, he was very pointed and easy to be understood. And here he said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, I'm hearing this so much in our days. Have a blessed day. Don't you? I hear it at McDonald's. Everywhere I go, I hear it at the grocery store. They'll hand me my receipt after I buy my groceries and say, have a blessed day. That's what this is talking about. This was simply the phrase of the day, if you will. Godspeed. God be with you along your way. And he said, we don't do that. Don't bid him Godspeed or the Lord bless you. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You're saying the Lord bless you in your false doctrine. The Lord be with you and guide you in your as a false prophet. That's what we're telling them when we bid them Godspeed. And certainly we're not to give an ear to false doctrine. That goes without saying. But this is not what our Lord's warning his disciples of or exhorting them to do here in Mark chapter 4. These men were under his teaching. They were being spoken to by the Son of God. They were told time and again that they were blessed of God to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand. And he was time and again speaking to them, giving them the parables and the meaning of the parables, giving to them the writings of the prophets. And so it would come to pass that after his resurrection, they'd say to one another, didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way and he opened unto us the scriptures? Take heed what you hear. So what is he talking about here? Well, he's saying, don't hear my words as a mathematical equation. Don't hear me the same as you do your math teacher. Don't hear me the same way you hear the reporter on the 6 o'clock news. Don't hear this as a mechanical fact. Don't hear it as a scientific theory. Hear it for what it is. It is the word of life. That's what he's telling them. Born again, Peter said, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Take heed, he said, what you hear. His word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide asunder soul and spirit. It's a discerner. He's talking about this book. He's talking about his word. Both his written word and his word preached. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God says that we're sinners. Fallen sinners. Hopeless sinners. Sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. None righteous, none good, none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. Better take heed to that. That's what he's telling them. Take heed to it. Don't you treat this as another fact and just lodge it up there with the rest of the stuff. They weren't hearing everybody. They were hearing him. Well, what had they heard? What were they to take heed to? What had they heard? Well, they had heard that the Son of Man, I'm just taking this from the first few chapters of Mark that we've already studied. They had heard that the Son of Man had power on earth to forgive sins. How many people know that today? Huh? Not very many. Not very many. He has power to forgive sins. They heard this from him also. The whole need not a physician, but the sick. Came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. They heard that you can't put new wine in an old bottle. You can't take this word of life and stick it in this old nature. It won't work. Number one, it won't receive it. Number two, it wouldn't know what to do with it if it did. It'll misuse it, misapply it. You can't put this new wine in an old bottle, and you can't patch up that old garment with a new piece of cloth. You can't take grace and patch up that hole in that old garment. Grace ain't a patch. It's a whole suit. And they heard that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. They heard that the strong man arm keepeth his palace in peace until one stronger than he should come upon him and bind him and spoil his goods. And they heard of the true family of God and of the priority that it's to be given. They heard about the gospel sower and the prepared ground. They heard about the gospel candle and the purpose for which it was given. And now he said, take heed to it. Take heed to what you hear. Now let me ask you something. Myself's included in this. But I'm asking you this as your pastor. What have you heard? What have you heard? I'll let you make the list. What have you heard? How did you hear it? Isn't that what he's asking them? Take heed what you hear. But you say, you're just a man. He was too, as he stood in their presence. And I know he was more than a man. This is the God-man. This is the man, Christ Jesus. He was a man anointed of God to preach the gospel to poor sinners. He said that. He said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The scripture that was spoken of me all them thousands of years ago, it's fulfilled today He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, poor sinners, bankrupt sinners, and to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and receiving of sight to the blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That is, to preach the Lord's jubilee. Yes, he was the God-man. And yes, he was the eternal Word made flesh. But he stood before them being sent of God to them and carried with him the gospel the same as we do. He sent out those 12, the very 12 that he's talking to in this passage. He sent them out and he told them this, "He that heareth you, heareth me." Take heed what you hear. What you hear. And he sent out another 70, and he said the same thing to them. Now, if it's just facts, you can read it in a book. You can go online and find it somewhere. But if God has sent his messenger to you, and that's what the scripture says he does, how shall you hear without a book? It doesn't say that. How shall you hear without a CD? It don't say that. Now, I know what we think and I know how we reason, but I'm just telling you the Word of God don't say that. The Holy Ghost said, how shall you hear without a preacher? That's what he said. Take heed what you hear. Diligently attend to it. Seek to understand it. Prove it in the Word of God. I don't want you to take me at my word. I want you to take him at his. Doesn't matter what I think. Matters what he says. Lay it up in your minds and memories. Why? Well, first of all, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the first reason. Now, if God been pleased to send you a man to preach to you, hear him. We've got 6 of them coming this coming weekend, the Lord willing. 6 men. In the providence of God, they're going to stand before you, same as I am this morning, and declare unto you the gospel. And these are not just 6 men. These are 6 outstanding men. These are faithful men, men who've been at this a long time. Men who know what they're talking about. They're just men. They're just men. Maybe in body. Maybe in nature. But not in his office. Not in his office. And if he has this office given to him of God, then he has the providence of God that's brought him here and brought you to hear him. And it's not in the power of his message, but in the power of Christ's message. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, is it not? Listen to what Paul said to the Thessalonians. Now, he told them that he knew their election because the gospel didn't come. And he said, my gospel came not unto you in word only. What I preached to you didn't just come to you in word only, but it came in power and it came in the Holy Ghost. And it was effectual in you. You become followers of us and the Lord. You abandon your old idols and sought after the living God. You patiently now wait for that great return, that great hope that Christ will come again and raise these vile bodies and give us eternal bodies And he said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. That's how most people receive it, isn't it? Well, that's your opinion. That's your interpretation. Paul said, I thank God you wasn't one of them. He said, you received the word of God which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now listen, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Take heed what you hear. You know how many men and women this morning there are in this country and other countries abroad that have been given over to strong delusion to believe a lie. They're in their synagogues and churches and cathedrals and whatever name they put on the door. They're in there this morning and the music's going and they're clapping their hands and they're swaying to the music and they're so happy to be there and they're going to go home and rejoice after a while. Wasn't that so nice in there this morning? Did you feel what I felt in there today? They've been given over to strong delusion to believe a lie. And then to be damned for believing the lie that they were given over to believe. God doesn't owe us a revelation of himself. If he gives one, it's by his sovereign grace. It's by his mercy. It's an act of love and grace and mercy toward us that he would give us a revelation of his Son and then make us meet to be able to receive it and rejoice in it. To cling to it, to rest our hope on it. Take heed. You see what he's saying here? Take heed what you hear. Do we have any idea this morning how favored we are to hear what we're hearing, to believe what we believe? The multitudes listen to our Lord. Now you might say, I don't know, preacher. I can't get first base with what you're saying. Well, you might be justified in that. You might be. Let me tell you something. You wasn't justified when you heard the Lord of Glory preach. And these men listened to him preach and they said, he's crazy. He's saying if we don't eat his flesh and drink his blood, we got no life in us. And his disciples, these followers of him, hundreds of them, been following him everywhere he went. They left. The crowd peeled off. Nobody left but the 12. And the Lord turned to them and said, will you go also? Now, don't you listen to what they said. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Maybe we don't understand it, but we know you have them. And if it's going to be an understanding, this is where we're going to get it. To whom shall we go? We're not going back to those ceremonies. We're not going back to that law. We're not going back to that confusion. You have the words of eternal life. We're going to stay with you. We're going to stay with you. Take heed what you hear. Well, is that how we hear? I tell you this. To a hungry sinner, there's nothing more precious than a gospel message. There's nothing more precious. I can't imagine. Those people were starving to death back in the days when Joseph reigned in Egypt. They were starving to death, and they came down to Egypt, and Joseph filled that sack. He'd point to those men, he said, fill it up, and they put that corn in that sack. Boy, how precious was that? Watch that golden grain go down in that sack. Boy, boy. They went home and told everybody, there's corn in Egypt. What was wrong with the corn in Iraq? Wasn't any corn. That's what was wrong with it. Wasn't any. Now go back to our text here in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. Now listen. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. With what measure you meet. Now the word meet here means to distribute by measure, to deal out. To deal it out. Just like Joseph, he would give them so much corn, he measured it out and he gave it to them. He gave it to them. With what understanding and authority we distribute his word, it shall be measured to us, and unto us that hear shall more be given. And this is not talking so much about a man's ability to do these things as it is the enlightening of the man, the enlightening of his heart to see the reality of it, the ability to perceive it, and the confidence to teach it. Don't you ever let somebody say, well, you know, I believe in election, but I don't preach it. No, you don't believe in it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You believed in it, you preach it. You preach it. And that's what this is talking about. That man who's been enlightened, given the ability to understand and to see how precious these things are, he's going to distribute it in the same measure it was given to him. Given to him by grace, he's going to distribute that way. And I tell you this, when a person receives that man and his message, and that has to do with Christ, his apostles, his evangelists, or pastor teachers, he'll profit by his teaching. He'll profit by it. He'll profit by his teaching. He'll be rooted and grounded and established in the faith, because that's why God gave these offices to the church. He'll glean and store up in his heart the pearls and the heavenly treasures set forth in that man's gospel. He'll remember it. Man, I remember Henry Mahan throwing out those pearls and those golden nuggets. I can remember that like it was yesterday. And they're just as sweet today as they were 35, 40 years ago. But the man who hears to debate, he hears to argue, all he'll ever hear is facts and cold, dead, dry letters. That's all he's ever going to receive. Mark chapter 4, verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Or maybe a better rending of that might be even that which he seems to have. Now I say that because what God gives, he doesn't take back. If he's pleased to give it, he's going to cause that to benefit you. He's going to make it benefit you. And I say that because it's not given by condition, but unconditionally by the sovereign and free grace of God. And also because it's given and maintained by his sovereign, irresistible spirit. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything he gives, he gives. He's not taking it back. And his word not going to return unto him void. It's going to accomplish that for which it was sent. And I say that because of the meritorious works of Christ. And I say that because of the end of the gospel this man preaches. It is to glorify God. And I say this because God has sent it and ordained it to accomplish its purpose. Take heed what you hear. For he that hath, what does he have? He has an understanding. He has an unction from the Holy One. He has a joy and confidence in the word that God's given him. It's real to him. For he that hath, to him shall be given. That is, given more, given a deeper, clearer revelation of Christ, given a clearer understanding of the grace of God in the salvation of sinners, a clearer understanding of the Word of God. And in Philippians, Paul said this was his confidence toward these Philippians, these Gentiles. He said, here's my confidence. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Boy, if he don't, you're a goner. I can tell you that. The word preached is like the will of a great man being read to his children. What they hear, let's just say this happened, and you got this relative, and you didn't even know he was a relative, and you found out this my relative, and the lawyer sends you a letter, and we want you to come down such and such a place, and there's going to be a reading of the will, and you go in there and sit down, and he said, Russell Sanders, he said, I've left you my new Rolls Royce. You going to get up and run out the door? Uh-uh. Now, I'm going to stay till the whole will is read, ain't you? Huh? Car might just be the first thing. Listening to the gospel is like listening to the will of God. That's what it is. It's the will of God. Christ is the testator. He's gonna be sure that you get everything that he bought. It's coming to you. And he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to read it to you. He's going to make you understand it in the Word of God. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. And he did it, didn't he? And now he's alive. And he's going to be sure that that inheritance is understood and received and enjoyed by everyone that it was left to. That's what he's saying here. That's what he's saying here. Take heed what you hear. All right, thank you.